Got two scriptures to read. The first one is from the book of Job, chapter 3 and verse 25. It says, "For the thing that I greatly feared has arrived, and what I was afraid of has come to me." Second is a well-known verse in the New Testament, James chapter 4 and verse 7. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Title of my message today, Doors to the Spiritual Realm. Now, we looked last time at the arm of faith, and we saw that God always blesses us from the heavenly realm. Now, the heavenly realm is a realm that's in the spirit. It's different to the natural realm in which we live. And so we need to build a bridge between the two realms in order to access the blessings of the Lord. Okay. Now, God provides from the heavenly realm, according to his riches in the realm of glory. Okay? And so what God does is he offers us a door between these two realms so that a transfer can take place from the one realm to the other. And once that door is opened, then our life becomes influenced by what comes down to us from the heavenly realm. And so we used the arm of faith, and the arm of faith is a way of entering that door into the heavenly realm and then bringing back the blessings of the Lord. Now, what does it take to open the door to the heavenly realm? God's spiritual door. Let's look at that first. Okay. Now, we need to realize that the earth exists entirely in what we call the natural realm. And there's like a wall that separates these two realms. Now, we like to think of the heavenly realm as the place where God lives, that's up there amongst the planets somewhere. But you know, the scripture says that the Lord is closer than breathing. See, and God is in us and out of us. He fills the whole universe. So for us to access God and his heavenly realm, we don't need to travel a distance. We need to switch into a different realm. And between these two realms, there's a thick, impenetrable wall. It's not possible for those who have died and moved out of this natural realm into that spiritual realm. It's not possible for them to return. And it's not possible for us yet to go into that heavenly realm, because there's a big wall between the two. And so that wall prevents these two realms from affecting each other. And so in order for us to transfer things between, we have to have a door opened in that wall. Now, we have access to the heavenly realm because the scripture says that we are actually seated in the heavenly realm with Christ. See, Jesus is seated on the throne of heaven, and spiritually we have been raised up together with him. It says this in the book of Ephesians, reading from chapter 2 and verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, through his great agape love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And because of that, we now have access through Christ to the heavenly realm. How do we get this access? We can get it only by faith, which is why we need the arm of faith. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access through faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We have access to that heavenly realm by faith in Christ. There's no other way to get there. And God has promised us an open door. He's not going to keep that door closed and locked so that we can't get in. And so in the book of Revelation, he says this to one of the churches, Revelation 3, verse 8, I know what you're doing, and I've given you an open door, and no person or thing is able to shut it. Since you have a little strength, but have maintained my word and have not denied my name. We must choose to go through that door and create the access. God's given us the access. He's given us a door, but it's up to us to use what he's given us. You see, God never, ever imposes himself on us. And so, although God has so much to offer from the heavenly realm, he doesn't look down and say, oh, what can I throw on you today? You see, he says, all I have is yours. All you need to do is to reach out and take it. But he's not going to do that until we do something. The key lies in our hands to reach up with the arm of faith, go through that door, and bring back what we're asking for from the Lord. And we always do it with the arm of faith. See, the arm of faith goes through that door into the heavenly realm, lays hold of the blessing of the Lord, and pulls it back into this realm so that it can manifest. And so I just wanted to explain a little bit more of what actually happens when we use the arm of faith. But what I want to look at, especially today, is another realm. You see, the heavenly realm is not the only realm that exists in the spirit world. There is another spiritual realm also. It's a realm in the spirit that is not of God and where God does not dwell. Now, the scripture calls God's realm the realm of light, because God is light and in him is no darkness. But there is another realm which the scripture calls the realm of darkness. That's where Satan and his demons operate. It's totally opposed to everything that is of God. Now, this realm, again, is separated from our natural realm by a big wall. And in order for the one realm to affect the other, a door needs to be created and opened. Okay. Demons cannot choose to attack us anytime they like. Satan cannot go from his realm of darkness into our realm to affect us whenever he chooses. He needs a door. And once he's got the door, he can do that. Okay? So you have to give Satan a door before he can enter into your life and into your experience. Satan does not have the authority to open that door. That authority lies in your hands. The only power that Satan has is to put thoughts into your mind. That's all he can do. And his purpose is to try and get you to open that door. You see, God has only given us as human beings, created from the substances of this earth and indwelt by a spirit and having a soul. This is the only part of creation that actually has the authority to open doors and to permit what takes place in this realm. When God made Adam and Eve, he put them in charge of the world and he said, go and subdue the earth and dominate it. You're in control. And he went off back to heaven, just came and visited once a day. Okay. Satan had no access to this realm, but he managed to get through via a serpent to bring a temptation to Eve and thus to persuade Adam, who had the authority. And Adam was the first one who opened the door to the realm of darkness. He's the first one that opened that door wide and allowed Satan in. And when he did that, he created a method for the demons to get access to this realm. And they came in and they destroyed all the blessings that God had created for mankind in this world. Now, you can give Satan an open door. And if you give them that open door, they will come in and they will steal the blessing of God and block it and destroy it, just like they did in the earth when Adam allowed them in. Instead of the blessing of God, they're going to bring a curse, which is very different to a blessing. It's a big subject. I've covered it in a lot of detail elsewhere. But essentially, there are three main elements to a curse, which are the total opposite of everything that lies in the blessing. See, God's blessing is always involves provision. The curse always brings theft. You're going to lose all the good things that God gave you. Your opportunities for blessings are going to be taken away from you. A curse brings destruction. You're going to lose all the good things, and you're going to, what you do have is going to get destroyed. Your health is going to get destroyed. You're going to get attacked with sickness and disease. Your finances are going to get destroyed. You're going to suffer financial lack. Your relationships are going to get destroyed. You're going to lose good friendships and even marriage. And the third sign of a curse is strife. Bad relationships with others. Conflict and strife suddenly appear out of nowhere, and everything goes wrong in your life. Now, how do we open that door to allow Satan in? And I think it's very important that we understand this, because if you have such an open door in your life and you want to know the cause and the source, go find a mirror. That person that you see in the mirror is the source. That is the person who opened the door to allow Satan to come in. Now, we always like to pass the buck, don't we? We always like to blame other people for everything that goes wrong in our life. And actually, people even try to blame God and say, why did God allow this in my life? God didn't allow it. You did. God didn't open the door to the realm of darkness. You did. And if you didn't, it wouldn't have been there. God gave you a door to blessing, and he wants you to use that door. But if you choose to open the door to a curse, and you're going to have a curse and you're going to lose the blessing. How do we open the door to the demonic realm? And I'll share with you just a few different ways that we do it so that you can understand what causes it and then what to do if that's happened. How can we reverse it? And how can we prevent it from happening again in the future? Well, this is one we don't want to look at. The first cause of all curses is personal sin. Satan had no access to this world until Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God. And the first way that you're going to open a door to the enemy is to disobey God and to break his clear indication of what he's told you to do or told you not to do in his word. The Bible says sin is a transgression of the law. Well, we don't have to be bound by law and legalism, but we can walk in righteousness in Christ. And if we choose instead to obey sin, you begin to open a door to the wrong realm. How do we sin? Well, the first thing you do is you give in to the temptations, firstly, of Satan, because he puts thoughts in your mind. He puts pictures in your mind and tempts you to do what you know you shouldn't do. We give in to the desires that come out of our own bodies and flesh, our own personal passions and lusts and desires. We give in to those and we sin. And then especially if you get into anything that gives you access to demon powers, like fortune telling, horoscopes, palm reading, getting involved in the occult in any way. Not only have you sinned, but you've actually opened that door wide and said, come on, demons, come and help me. Come and do something for me. Instead of looking to the Lord, you're looking to demons to control your life. Instead of asking God what his plan is for the future, you want a demon to give you a prediction of what's going to happen in the future. Am I going to get married? When's my finances going to change? People go to fortune tellers to find out, and they open their door to the demonic realm. Bam. And in comes the demons, more than willing to help and deceive you. The other way that a door is open to the demonic realm is through family generations. The Bible calls the sins of the forefathers. If anybody down in your family line opened the door in the past, especially in the realm of getting involved in the occult and getting involved with demons, the Bible says that God promised he will visit the iniquity of the parents on the children to the third and fourth generation. So if anybody back to third and fourth generations, we're talking parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and it doubles each time. There's a lot of generations there. If anybody back there was involved in the sin and opened a demonic door through the occult in the past, that door has remained passing its influence down to you. And you can start being born with an open door already there. And you hadn't even done anything yet. So we need to deal with family generations. We need to renounce them. And I'm not going to go into that in detail because we've taught it in a lot of detail elsewhere. And then you can get contaminated by other people, by the open doors that they have created in their lives, and Satan begins to attack you through the open doors that they have in their lives. This starts as close as home, in your own parents, your siblings, and everybody who's close to you. I can get to you from relatives, from friends, from associates, people that you mix with and open your heart to and get more intimate with. You immediately give Satan access through their door into your life. These are all different ways that we can open a door to the demonic realm, and these are the things that cause curses to come into our lives. Now, there's one door especially that I want to speak about today, and I want to look at this in a bit more detail, because this is the first sign of a curse being present. Not only will you see theft and strife and destruction, but you will suddenly begin to experience fear. Instead of faith, which God is giving, which you can use of the arm of faith, we get fear, which neutralizes all faith. And actually what it does, it becomes faith in reverse. Fear creates the very thing you don't want. And so Job, in that scripture we looked at the beginning, he said, the thing that I've greatly feared has arrived. It's come in my life. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't want it. I was afraid of it, but here it is. Job was so afraid that he went out of his way to offer sacrifices for all his family and children and everybody, and Satan came and wiped them all out in one shot. He said, the thing that I feared has come on me. If you continue to give in to fear, you continue to open a door to the demonic realm because you're under a curse. You give Satan license to destroy it. Whenever there's a curse, there will always be fear. Not just an ordinary fear. Some fear is good. See, if a poisonous spider runs over me, I'm not going to say, oh, pretty little spider. I know some people do that. I don't. Okay, that thing could be poisonous. It could hurt me. If I see a snake, I'm taking up a stick or I'm running. See, because I know that thing can hurt me. These are natural things. We avoid dangerous things in life. This is a fear which protects us. But the kind of fear I'm talking about here is an overwhelming fear that you can't control, a fear that comes out of nowhere, that you don't want to be there, but it takes over. And it paralyzes you. It totally paralyzes you. You're afraid to do anything. You're afraid to go anywhere in case for fear. Satan has got you all tied up. Like you got this rope all the way around you and you're just lying there, helpless and unable to move. The door has been opened. A door of fear. And that door gets even wider as you meditate on it. The more you think about it, the worse it gets. The pictures that are created in your mind by fear overwhelm your emotions. Now, this is a natural phenomenon. Whatever is in our mind affects our emotions. If you're thinking good thoughts, you get good emotions. If you're thinking bad thoughts, you get bad emotions. Whatever pictures you keep in your mind begin to affect the way that you feel. Now, fear paints these pictures in your mind, and if you allow those pictures to remain in your mind and you meditate on them and think on them, it's going to get worse. You feel a pain in your body and fear comes. Is this something serious? Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a pending heart attack. Maybe one of my organs is packing in. What can it be? The more you meditate on it, you think, oh, this could get worse. I could get really sick. I could die. And now you're seeing the funeral, and you're seeing the coffin, and you're seeing the hearse, and you're seeing the cemetery. It just gets worse and worse. Eventually, you're totally overwhelmed with fear because you kept those pictures in your mind. You can widen the door even further by putting the pictures of fear into your mouth. The moment you begin to express your fears, the pictures become established. You see, it's very difficult to not see when you're speaking. See, I look at this glass of water here, and if I say, I'm thirsty, my mouth is really dry. You know what? I just can't resist the temptation to grab that glass and have a drink of water. My feelings become overwhelmed by the pictures that I've been putting in my mind. And when you speak words, you establish those pictures. Now, this is a very important thing to know because you can actually speak good words and create good pictures. And that's one of the best ways, actually, to overcome fear. Instead of speaking your fears, speak the opposite. Instead of looking for the disease, look for the healing. But what's our first response? Oh, I got a pain. I wonder what sickness that is. I wonder what disease that is. I wonder if I've got something. So we visualize and we speak the sickness. Instead of saying, hang on, by his stripes I have been healed. God is my healer. I don't have to suffer. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. But no, we don't talk healing, we talk sickness. And the more you speak about it, the more you convince yourself and put yourself in a corner until you can't get out. So, how are you feeling today? Oh, I feel terrible. I woke up this morning with such a headache. Man, I hope it's not something serious. Maybe my blood pressure's high. Maybe I'm going to burst a blood vessel and have an aneurysm. I could have a stroke. You're saying, come on, devil, open the door wide. Here I am. Hit me. How are you doing? Got a bit of pain in my head. Thank you, Lord, for healing me right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your touch, Lord. Headache, leave now in Jesus' name. Ah, that changes it. And the more you see the positive picture, the more you see the picture of you going out in health and in strength and living a long life, the more you're opening the door to the heavenly realm. And you're reaching in your arm of faith and you're saying, I receive my healing now. Be healed. I know we want to open the other door all the time and we get paralyzed with fear. And we think we're a poor little victim. No, you're not a victim. You're an idiot because you listen to the lies. Satan, the scripture tells us, is the father of lies. When you open the door of fear, it comes in and it seals the door of faith. And while you're meditating on your fears, it's impossible for you to exercise faith. You want to reach up with the arm of faith, but it's become paralyzed. You can't move. You're stuck. You try to reach out to the Lord, but you can't get through. Why? Because you believed a lie. The scripture says that Satan cannot tell the truth. He's a liar and the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. That means you should not believe what he tells you. It's not true. If you do believe him, you immediately give him control in your life. Now, do you know what Satan's biggest lie is? Fear. Fear is the biggest lie that he can give you, because he knows when you begin to fear, you stop believing. And fear opens the door to those three elements of a curse. So the first thing that you need to do, if you want to close that door, is you need some way of overcoming that lie. You need something to counter it and go against it and neutralize it. Because Satan can be very convincing with his lies. You need something that will stop the fear. Well, what's the best way to overcome a lie? The truth. It's the total opposite, isn't it? The one is darkness, the other is light. A lie can only become overcome by the truth. If somebody tells you a lie, the easiest way to overcome that is to show them that that's not true. This is actually the truth, so your lie doesn't hold any water. If Satan comes and tells you that you're sick and you've got something serious and you're going to die, if he tells you that your finances are going to be destroyed, that you're going to be poor, and they're going to retake your car back, and you're not going to be able to pay the bills, you need something to counteract that lie. You need something that is the truth. Well, we have two things that give us truth. John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and you will come to know the truth, the real thing, and that truth will set you free. Jesus made it clearer when he prayed to the Father in John chapter 17, and verse 17, he said, Father, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. You want to know the best truth to overcome the lie of the devil? The word of God. Well, you've been listening to the devil's lies for so long, did you ever get into the word to find out what it says? What does the word say about your health? What does the word say about your finances? Get yourself established in the truth. Fill your mind with the truth and start to speak those words, because when you speak them, they create positive pictures which will overcome the fear. Not only is God's word the truth, but God's spirit is also the truth. And we have both. We have his word and we have his spirit dwelling within us. Jesus said in John 15, 26, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send to you, the Father, namely the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. So you need to hear the word of God. Firstly, you need to hear his written word. It's great if you can hear preaching of the word. But you don't have to wait for that. You got the Bible right there. In printed form, if you one of the old school, I don't read printed books anymore. Still hard in my eyes. I like to have everything on a little screen. And I have every book I could ever need on my phone. Now, I could take my whole library with me. In my old days, I used to buy a lot of books. And I had these great bookshelves full of books. And every time we had to move, I'd get rid of all my books. It's great when you're moving from town to town, but you move from country to country, you can't take all those books with you. So I switched to buying my books in ebook form and keeping them on my phone. When we left Mexico, I had a lot of books again that I'd bought that I had to sell. It was even worse the first time we went to Mexico. I'd accumulated books for years here in South Africa. But then I began to put them on my phone. When we got on the plane to come back to South Africa, I brought all my books with me on my phone. And they're still there. Now, I'm not trying to say you should do that, but I'm saying you should do that, if you've got any sense. Because it's so much easier. It's even cheaper to buy ebooks than it is to buy printed books. But I hear people saying, oh, you know, I like the printed page. I like to curl up in bed with my book. Well, I curl up in bed with my phone. And I can even read in the dark because it's a bright screen. You know, I'm one of the old generation. And I see young people are still caught in the old way of doing things. Well, you know, if I was the owner of Amazon, I might talk differently. And I want you to buy books, but yeah, they sell ebooks too. Whatever it takes, get into the Word and get the Word in you. I have the Bible on my phone. I have books on my phone. I have everything that I need. Get the written Word into you. Get into the written Word. But it's not only the written Word actually that helps you, because the strongest builder of faith is not the written Word. It's the spoken word. Now, that may help when somebody's preaching the word, because when they're preaching the word, they're preaching you what is written, but they're adding an extra dimension. They're making it live. And instead of saying, well, God said this, they're saying, God is saying this to you right now. That means the Logos word becomes a rhema word, a word that's active in the mouth. And if you continue to fill yourself with the Logos word, eventually it starts to pop up out of your conscious, your subconsciousness. While you're even sitting thinking, suddenly a scripture pops into your mind. You come to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, please touch my body. It's sore. And out comes a scripture that says, by his stripes you were healed. Wow. In the name of it, Jesus, every knee shall bow. Ask and you shall receive. Bam, bam, bam. These scriptures pop up, and they're not just words that were written to somebody else. It's God speaking them right to you. That's rhema. And when the scripture says that faith comes by hearing the word of God, it uses rhema, not logos. When the rhema rises up in you, faith is born. And faith is the best way, one of the best ways, to overcome fear. Here's another one, which we'll look at shortly. So get into the scriptures, fill yourself with them, and get into the Spirit and hear his voice speaking directly to you, and faith will be produced. The next thing you need to tap into is God's love. How do we get that? Well, love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's created by the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and control your life, love will automatically start to come out of you. And believe it or not, love is the strongest force that there is to overcome fear. John tells us this in 1 John 4:18. He says, there is no fear in agape love, but mature love casts out fear. Casts it out. Well, how do we do this? Well, one of the best things that you can start with is to get your eyes off yourself. Oh, my little me. I'm sick. I'm going to die. Finances are bad. Oh, Lord. And all we do is wail and talk about ourselves and tell people all about our problems and how bad we feel. We wonder why nobody wants to be around us. Get your eyes off yourself. and start seeing the needs in other people around you. That's the first step to manifesting love. Ask the Lord to use you as a channel of His love. And start to become more other-oriented instead of self-oriented. That alone will start to dispel the fears. You see, fear keeps us locked up in ourselves. Oh, poor little me. I'm afraid something's going to happen to me. Get your eyes off yourself and start looking out to others and start becoming a blessing to other people. Now, you can close the door to the realm of darkness in several ways. Firstly, you can identify your own sin and bring it to the Lord for cleansing. It's very easy. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Identify family generational curses and renounce them. It's very easy. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I submit to you and I renounce every family generation curse and the sins of my forefathers. I want nothing to do with them. I reject them. In the name of Jesus, be gone. It's over. Identify the curses in your parents and in your siblings and your relatives and your friends and your associates. Will you start to see things in your life that you see in the lives of others? Take note. When things start to happen to you that you saw happen in the life of your father or your mother, take note. You picked up a contamination of the curse that they had. That's not even a family generation curse because it's the first generation, not the third and the fourth. But you picked up a virus from someone and you caught their disease. We can renounce that and break it and say, I want nothing to do with it. You can even get it from your siblings, and you can even get it from your children if you're a parent. Anybody who's close to you opens that door, it affects you. Now you need to renounce every curse, and you need to close the door. Close the door. You close the door of fear by filling your mind with truth. The truth is clearly revealed in God's word. By His stripes you were healed. My God shall provide all your needs according to His riches in the realm of glory. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. This is the truth of God's word. Fill yourself with that truth. Listen to His voice while you're praying. Don't be so taken up with bombarding Him with all the things that you want. Take time to shut up and listen. And He'll hear that deep, still, small voice deep inside of you when He speaks back to you again. It's a process called journaling by which you can write down. You can hold a conversation with the Lord and speak to Him and then write down what He says back to you again. And you'll be amazed how you can hear that inner voice and rhema that will come to you. Whatever truth He gives you, embrace it. Embrace it. This is mine. The fear is not mine. It's a lie. I embrace what God says about me. Not what the devil says. Not what other people are saying. Not what the world says. Then close that door by getting filled with His love. Spend time in His presence until you sense His beautiful, tender love, because He loves you. He loves you and He cares for you. And the more time you spend in His presence, the more aware you're going to become of that love. And then listen to His words of love as He says to you, you're special, my child. I love you. I want to bless you. I want you to have the best. Listen to those words of love. Spend a bit of time worshiping Him, and the love begins to just pour. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Worship Him. And as you love Him and He loves you back, you become filled with His love. And then start looking to the needs of others. Start praying for people that you know that need a touch from the Lord. Forget about your needs. You know, we spend all our prayer time telling Him our needs. No, leave yours and begin to pray for the needs of others. And then build other people up. Instead of trying to promote yourself all the time, get a total other orientation. That's how you flow out in love. And that love will cast out all fear, the scripture says. When you do this, you slam the door shut in Satan's face. And then you go through the door God's given you. You take the arm of faith, you reach up, and you embrace his blessings. Make this a habit in your life. Do it every day. Do it every time you think about it. And especially when those thoughts begin to bombard you, those thoughts of fear. Don't open the door wide by meditating on it. Don't open the door even wider by speaking about it. You slam that door shut in Satan's face by reaching to the Word of God. And those thoughts start to come to your mind, start quoting the scriptures. Memorize them so that they come out spontaneously. Memorize some scriptures. If you are being filled with fear of sickness and disease and death, then fill your heart with words, scriptures that promise you long life, that promise you health. If you're afraid of finances, afraid of going bankrupt, of not being able to pay your debts, then speak scriptures of financial provision and blessing. If you're afraid of your friendships and your marriage breaking up, speak the promise of God. Speak the love of God. You may find we start to pour out the love, those relationships begin to change automatically, because love always builds. Do this every day, all the time. All the time. Slam that door shut and then take your arm of faith and say, I'm reaching for blessing. Father, I thank you for healing. It's mine in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for financial provision. Thank you that we have an abundance, not only to meet our needs, but for me to buy that new thing that I've really been wanting. Oh, Lord, I taught you last time how to do that. Get a core desire. Reach out and take it. Whatever your desire, whatever your need, God's given you that door. Use it. When Satan tries to open his doors, slam it shut. When you open that door unwittingly, without realizing it, don't say, oh, it's too late. I went and opened the door. Now I'm in trouble. No. No, you'd backtrack immediately. You repent of your own sin. Lord, where did I fail? Please show me. Forgive me. I receive your cleansing. Now, Satan, shut up. Go back to hell where you came from. Scripture says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Watch him run his legs off. Because he knows he can't fool you anymore. Because you're not going to believe his lies. No. Okay, you got something serious. Oh, don't you dare. Don't you dare, Satan. No, God says, I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm popular. I'm famous. Speak your desires. I reach out and I take them. I will not give in to this fear. I will not open the realm, a door to the realm of darkness. Make this a habit in your life. Do it every time, day by day. Do it many times a day. Do it every time fear begins to fill your heart. And Satan will eventually get the message that it's not going to work and he's going to stop doing it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch the person who's listening to this right now. The Lord says to you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Fear not. Do you know how many times Jesus said, fear not? Do you know how many times God in his word says, fear not? Do you know why? Because fear will open the door to Satan. He says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. I know I'm speaking to somebody right now and you're getting it right between the eyes. And you're saying, oh boy, I've been doing this. I've allowed this to happen in my life. Well, you know, that's sin. And that's easy to fix. Lord, forgive me. Can you do that right now? Lord, forgive me for giving into fear. Forgive me for believing the lies of Satan instead of what your word says. Forgive me for listening to the voice of Satan instead of your voice. Forgive me for being selfish instead of full of love. I receive his cleansing now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now watch the river of his blessing begin to flow. Put up that arm of faith and say, I'm not going to receive the curse. I'm going to receive the blessing, and I'm taking it now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And new things will begin to happen in your life. And those bad things that have been happening that you caused by opening the door to fear, you caused it. It's going to stop. Now, it may not happen overnight. It might take you a while to change your habit pattern of being negative and seeing the negative and giving into fear. But start working on it right now and start getting your heart filled with faith. It comes from God's word, and start reaching out with your arm of faith and receiving everything. Your life's going to get transformed. You're going to be so filled with blessing, you'll be oozing it and pouring it out, and people will want to be around you to come and get a taste of it. You'll be so flowing out with love that people want to be around you, because there isn't much love going out there in the world. Your relationships will change. Your finances will change. Your health will change. And you'll look forward to long life instead of seeing that funeral. Let it go. Start seeing good things like weddings and and parties and celebrations and going on a holiday and all the nice things. These are the pictures that fill our minds. God's going to do it for you. You'll see. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for your word. I gave it as you gave it to me. I ask you to take it and apply it now to the hearts of each person who's heard it. And may you confirm it with signs following. In Jesus' name.